Lord, we thank you for the blessing that we have had being here at the Advance. Thank you, Father, for your word. We thank you for the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we long today that he would be exalted and magnified in this session. Lord, may we see Jesus and him only. I pray for my sisters. I pray that you would encourage their hearts in the battle, in the ministry where you have called them. I pray that this time in your word would encourage their hearts and strengthen them for the work that you have called them to. And Lord, I need you. I pray that you would give me wisdom and understanding, guide every word, that it would bring honor and glory to our Savior. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You could go ahead and open up to Psalm 128, and we're going to be there in just a minute. I was given this title to be able to lead this session today. So they said, would you do a session on the abundant life of the ministry wife? Now, after that, I've talked to a lot of ministry friends, girlfriends, and said, when you hear the title, the abundant life of the ministry wife, what do you hear of? Or what do you think of when you hear that? And they're like, all the things I'm supposed to be doing, all the busyness of ministry life, that, you know, this is the woman who's like, she's got a casserole ready for the sick person at church, and she's going to go visit Mrs. So-and-so who came to her Sunday school class Sunday, and she's going to fill in the nursery on Sunday because the lady that was supposed to be there wasn't there. And I mean, it's just like, you know, she's got 12 arms and she's doing everything, and it's so abundant. But we're not going there today. We're going to take a little different direction, because I think so often we focus on the abundant life of the ministry wife instead of the abundant life of the ministry wife. That's what we want to talk about. Who you are as a wife. And there's a huge difference in what I just said. And you know what the difference is. You're already nodding. You know. But when we are going to look at Psalm 128, and the Lord just brought me to this psalm one morning when I said, Lord, what do you want me to share? And he brought me to this psalm. And I am convinced, and I don't know why. It's like, I'm just going to obey in what God has put in my heart. But when I look at these six verses, over and over and over again, we see synonyms for the word blessed. We see words like, that she is fruitful, that they are blessed all the days of their life. The word happy, it's like that's another word for abundant. And so I think this psalm tells us about the abundant life of a wife. And I want us to read the psalm, and then we're going to kind of divide each verse and look at what is the abundant life of a ministry wife. Verse 1, blessed is everyone that fears the Lord, that walks in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands, happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, and thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that fears the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel. Now, I'm going to try to help you and go down through our outline. This is just a guide. If I miss something, you can ask me later if you need to fill in the question. But we see in verse 1 that the beginning of being blessed or having an abundant life is by the fact that we fear God. Now, this psalm is one of the psalms of ascents. This is what the Israelites, this is one of the psalms that they would sing when they were ascending, when they went up to Jerusalem to the tabernacle. And so this reminds us of the covenant that God had with the Israelites. So some of the promises that we see here, we can't claim as our own. Like, she will be a fruitful vine, you will have children. We can't necessarily claim that because these were for Israel. But the truths about who God is, relate to us on a daily basis. And I want us, as we read through these verses, we're going to look for the character of God. And when Carol was sharing in the last session, I just thought, wow, look at how the Lord is just going to dovetail what we just heard into this session. So I want you to be thinking about that. So this is written to the head of the family, but we can also apply it as ministry wives. And you might say, well, I didn't read anything about ministry in there. Oh, it's there. Let's look at it and let's see where it is. First of all, our blessing comes because this woman is fearing her God. One definition that I love of fearing God is love on its knees. We love God, and so we fall before Him. We are on our knees to say, Lord, I will do what You've called me to do. I surrender to You. And I've talked to a couple of you just in the last couple of hours and have said, like, I was surprised. God called my husband into the ministry. Like, what? But love on its knees says, Lord, whatever You've called me to do, I will obey You. I will follow You because I love You. And Jerry Bridges says that our obedience to the Lord is an indication of our love for Him. But our obedience also shows our fear of Him. If we fear the Lord, we are going to be obeying Him. So where does this fear start? Go back to the day when you trusted Christ as your Savior. That's when it began. The day that you were placed in Christ. Ephesians 1 verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. And we are blessed in Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. That's the moment that all the blessing began, when you were placed in Christ. And we are secure in Him. We heard about that this morning. And now out of that relationship, we fear God more and more, the more we know of His character. And look at what it says. It says that she is blessed is everyone that fears the Lord, that walks in His ways. This is a present tense blessing. Like, it happened then when you got saved, and then the next day when you woke up. It's true today that you are blessed because you fear the Lord. And on and on and on throughout your Christian life, it's a present tense blessing because of our position in Christ. Ladies, it's not because of our title as a pastor's wife. That's not where the blessing is. Our blessing and our abundance comes from our position rather than a title. When I was a young pastor's wife, I had this so upside down because I thought I needed to be everything to everyone. And I was so consumed with, am I doing enough? Am I satisfying this person? And is she okay with what I'm doing as a pastor's wife? I went looking for somebody to help me, tell me what I'm supposed to be doing. You know what? All I needed to be doing for all those years was fearing God. That's where it all began. And the more that I fear God, look what happens at the end of that verse is that they walk in His ways. Your heart and your feet are connected. You will go and do the things that you love. So when I'm fearing God, I'm doing what He wants me to do. And that's why it blesses. It's because it's constantly I am fearing God and I'm doing what He wants me to do. Wow, doesn't that take a load off? I'm fearing the Lord. I'm not fearing the board. That takes such a load off of us. There's no blessing in fearing man. Proverbs 29:25 says that the fear of man brings a snare. It entraps us. But when we fear God, that's when we get the blessing. But I don't know about you, but I'm a people pleaser. I want people to be happy with what I'm doing and the way I look and how I talk and how I'm running my family. And there's a lot of pressure in that. It's very tiring. It's very exhausting. But when I'm fearing God, all I have to do is look into His face and let my feet follow my heart and say, Lord, if you're leading me that direction, I know that you will give me everything I need to be able to obey you. It is God that works in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. So blessing isn't guaranteed because we are wives or because we are pastors' wives. Blessing comes because we are in Christ. That's it. And that's the blessing of it. But then our fear of God, it will cover every area of our life. Not just the church stuff. Not just what we do as a pastor's wife. But it covers every area. It's so practical. It's like, I fear you, Lord. And so when I get up this morning, I'm going to spend time in your word. It's not because I have a duty and I have to do this. I check it off my list. It's no. My fear of God affects my personal life. It affects how then I spend the rest of my day today. What am I going to do with my day? Lord, you guide my steps. I fear the Lord and I walk in His ways. Because if our heart is joined to God, then our feet follow. And to know God is to love Him. And to love Him is to fear Him. So that's the very first part of our blessing. But I want us to see in verse 2, for thus shalt thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands, happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Have you found that you have joy in your heart? If there is an absence of joy in your heart, then you've lost the love of being in Christ. It's getting cold. If you love the Lord and you're walking with Him, you're going to be able to feast from your labors. You know, after you work, you're able to enjoy the fruit of that labor. And you can feast from that. There's enjoyment. There's happiness. There's satisfaction. There's fulfillment. And when the psalmist wrote this, he had in mind that hardworking farmer who'd been out in the field in the springtime, plowing the field, getting it ready for planting, putting in the seed, watching it grow, and then pulling in the harvest. And now you get the abundance that you're going to get to eat from that. You're going to eat of the labor of your hands. And we just heard a moment ago about Adam and Eve. God gave Adam work to do before sin entered the world. Work was not a curse. Work was not a punishment. It was a blessing. And it reminds me that God does not want us to be idle. We have work that we are to be doing. And work produced, so our work is going to produce the blessing of our feasting. But secondly, work produces sweat. Have you been out in your garden and you're working and you're pouring, the sweat is pouring off of you? Work is hard labor. So whatever work we're doing, it is difficult work. And sometimes I think I spend a lot of time at my computer working, studying, putting things together. And one commentator that I read said that God will bless the sweat of your sweat, whether it's the sweat of your brow, that you're doing this kind of work, or it's the sweat of your hands, you're doing that physical kind of labor. God will bless it. Now remember that every verse we read, it goes, we're going to tie it up to verse 1. Because verse 1 starts where the blessing begins, with the fear of God. So why do I do any work? Because I fear God. Because I love Him. And I want to serve Him. And He blesses my work. He says, you're working hard. You're doing it for me. And God blesses that work. It's amazing to me. Even little things that we do, God blesses that work. The little things you may be doing in your home, the little things you may be doing in your ministry. I've written a blog since 2008. And I believe it's what God wants me to be doing, to be able to encourage our church ladies, but then also to have a ministry that reaches out. And it's been amazing to me to just watch how God has given me wisdom. Like, there are days I'm like, I have nothing. I don't have anything to share. I don't know what to tell another lady. It's called refresh her. Like, I don't know. I feel dry today. And I'll just say, Lord, help me. And my blog header says, refreshing women in their heart, their home, and their life. And so I think, Lord, how can I share refreshment? And then he just brings something to me. That's God blessing the fruit of my hands, the labor that I'm doing. There's another kind of work that we do as wives. Have you ever had somebody just hear you? You hear them say, you got to work at your marriage. And you know what? This is really where God has burdened my heart for ministry wives. In the last couple of weeks, my husband and I have heard of 4 ministry marriages that have just broken up. And I'm burdened about this because we have an enemy. And are we working at our marriage as hard as we're doing all the other things that other people expect us to be doing? God will bless the work of your hands and of your heart when you're pouring into your marriage. One pastor said, running a church is a cinch compared to taking care of a marriage. Like, all those things, nothing. But having a successful marriage takes a lot of work. Well, you have to work at communication, or is that easy for your husband? My husband will tell people, he'll say, in essence, I communicate for a living. But communication is the most difficult part of our marriage. He will tell you that. So we have to work at being a communicator. We have to work at making time for each other. Is that a struggle? We have to work at being good forgivers. We have to work at serving. We have to work at being humble and sacrificing for each other. At just loving each other with Christ-like love. And all of this, our work, again, it goes back up to verse 1. We do it because we fear God. And we're going to work at our marriage because we love the Lord. He brought us together. And I want to remind you, ladies, you know this, and maybe you've taught a young woman and said this to her when she's engaged and going to be married. Your marriage is a picture of the gospel. I have a note on my phone of how I display the gospel in my marriage. And the Lord just keeps showing me more things. We've been married for almost 41 years, and I'm still learning this. Okay, it's obvious. When we love each other, we're showing gospel kind of love. When we forgive, like Christ forgave us, we're showing the gospel. When I submit to my husband, I'm putting the gospel on display. When I serve, I am putting the gospel on display over and over again, is showing us the beauty of the gospel. Now, look over in your Bible at chapter 127. This is a familiar passage. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman wakes, but in vain. So we know that this verse, or this chapter, is talking about the way a home is built. And it has to be built on the foundation of the Lord. But you know what? We cannot be building God's house except we're building our own house. And how is our own house built? It's built on the Lord because we fear Him. And as we fear Him and we have a marriage that is strong, we're going to have a ministry outside of our home as well. This week, I was working on, I think I was reviewing this and making sure I had everything together. And just, I have so much preparation things going on. I felt so busy and overwhelmed. And my husband was away. And I'm like, yes, he's going to be gone for the day. I've got some time to work on these things. And he sent me a text and he said, I've decided I'm coming home. It was 11:30. Tonight I'm coming home. I have to go to the radio station and do a recording, but I'm coming home. Ding! He needs lunch. That's why he's coming home. So I'm like, lunch? That would be great. He sends me a text back. So I go downstairs and I look in the cupboards and like I have a package of bread. It has a heel, one heel left in the package. Well, great. Oh yeah, and I turn around and I bake sourdough bread, and we have new neighbors moving in next door to us. This bread is for the neighbor. Oh yeah, my husband needs lunch. And the Lord brought this lesson to my mind. What are you going to do? Grab that bread, open it up. It was all pretty, you know, I had it all wrapped up so nice to give to them. Cut it, make sandwiches for us. I'm going to be this good pastor's wife who takes the loaf of bread to the new neighbors. Isn't that impressive? Not if my husband has a heel of bread with peanut butter slapped on it. Really, let's think about it. When I said the fear of the Lord is practical, it touches every area of our lives. This is part of it. I can't go serve somebody else when I haven't taken care of my own house first. So I can't have a ministry in God's house until I build my own house. And then letter C, work produces fruit. It says, it shall be well with thee. It's going to be well with you. God is providing for us. It's going to be well with you. And you might say, oh, you don't know my life. Things aren't so well right now. We have to have the long view. We know that this life is not all there is in this world. Thank the Lord. We have eternity before us. And so even if it's not well right now in front of me, in what I'm dealing with right now, one day in eternity, God knows my heart and how I have labored for Him. It's going to be well with us. We're going to be thankful that we were faithful. We're going to be thankful that we stuck with it, that we worked on our marriage. And remember that this fruit is produced because of verse 1. I feared God. I stayed by the stuff. I was faithful. I had the long view of what God is going to do. And this work of building a godly home is going to bring forth fruit now. And even though we might not see it immediately, there will be fruit in the future and for eternity. And if you know what? When we are fearing God, we can dismiss every other fear. The fear of, what does the church think? I mean, my husband stayed home longer today because we just needed time to discuss things. We had a little thing going on that we needed to communicate. What's the church going to think? When you fear God, it dismisses all other fears of what other people think, your fear of failure, your fear of wicked things that could happen. And this passage is telling us that you can expect a home life that pleases God. That is a happy home. Because our God is the one who made the home, and He is the one who blesses it. Remember, this is a present tense blessing. All right, number 3, I want us to see that this woman that is living the abundant life, she's flourishing at home. Look at verse 3. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, and thy children like olive plants round about thy table. I want us to think about the fruitful vine. That's the wife. That's the description of the wife. Carol quoted John 15:5 just a little bit ago, that as we abide in the vine and He in us, that we will bear much fruit, but without me, ye can do nothing. And so when I think about me being the vine, I have to be abiding in the vine. Because even being a wife to my husband, I cannot do it without the Lord. I have to be abiding in Him. And I love the picture here of the vine, the fruitful vine and the olive plants. It's not the staples like she's going to be wheat and corn. God's going to give you wheat and corn. No, the olive plant and the fruitful vine, these were pictures of blessing. And again, here's the abundance that God is going to give to us. It's a blessing. God is blessing it. All right, I want to show you how. She's flourishing at home because, first of all, the wife is a companion. She's a companion, and a companion is one of a pair of things. They go together. So people think of your husband, and your name just immediately comes with you. For us, it's Dale and Denise. Dale and Denise. We're a companion. Our wife is at a position as a wife. We are the other half of our husband's ministry, as a husband. And you think about God in Genesis chapter 2, bringing to Adam his wife. Now remember, this is before sin, so everything was perfect. But Adam needed a companion in paradise. So how much more do our husbands need a companion in this sinful, hard world that will beat him up and not care that they did so? Our husbands need us to be a companion. So if you were going to look for this wife in chapter 128 of Psalm, where is she going to be found? She is going to be near the sides of thine house. She's right there. She's the companion. She's with him. She's right there, caring for the needs of the house, inside and outside. I want to remind you of something that you knew when you married your husband. He cannot do what God has called him to do without you. He needs your gifts. He needs your spiritual gifts. He needs your encouragement. He needs your support. He needs you to be his biggest cheerleader. He needs your prayers. He needs you. He needs your presence there. So are you being one half of the team? Are you being that helper, that companion to him that he could not live without, that he cannot serve without? But secondly, the wife is also a comfort. And when it says that she's a fruitful vine, we automatically go to the fact that she's bearing children. But Spurgeon says that it's not necessarily that she's bearing children. Because if the wife is that wine of consolation and that cluster of comfort, she is being so fruitful to her husband. She's being to him what he needs. When he comes home and his shoulders are sagging and he's weary in his spirit, she's the comfort. She's there. And he knows when he comes home that home is going to be a place of solace, of a refuge for him. It's going to be a place where he's going to be provided for, where he's going to be accepted and cheered on to finish the work that God has called him to do. I cannot tell you how many times my husband has said to me in our 40 years of ministry, as long as I know that you are behind me, I can take anything at the church. Because the people at the church are not going to be with him forever on this life. But I vowed to be. I made a promise I would be. So when he comes home and I can say, I'm for you. God is blessing you. God is using you. I believe in what God has called you to do. And I'm using those words of love and respect. If you haven't read Emerson Eggerichs' book, Love and Respect, go get it and read it. That book is so, so helpful in this regard, being a comfort to him. Use words of respect. I respect the fact that you study so hard. I respect that you are such a great shepherd to your people. I respect you. We want to hear, I love you so much because, but they need to hear that we respect them. So she's a comfort to him. And I know, you know, church people can be some of the meanest people that there are. So can I. I'm a church people. I can be mean too. But they hear hard things and they need to come home to the comfort that we can give them. But I want us to see and let her see that a wife is close. Our ministry begins in our home. And when we think about the fact that she's called a vine, you know that a vine clings to the side of a house and it climbs upward. It stays close. And you know what? We need to make sure that we are keeping ourselves close to home. There's so much that calls us to go here and there, but we need to be close in proximity. He needs to know where we are, that we're going to be home soon. We hear the word ministry wife, and as I said at the beginning, we think about all the things we should be running and doing and heading up and handling and leading. But our first responsibility and our greatest ministry is our marriage, in our home. And you know, as I said, this vine is a beautiful thing. It's gorgeous and it is being fruitful. And that's what we are to be. We're to be valuable and beautiful and flourishing. And this is really what Eve was to Adam. She was the helper that God made just for him. So we're close in proximity, but we also need to make sure that we are maintaining closeness in our relationship. Are you closer this year to your husband than you were this time last year? I hope you could say yes. Are you making sure that you have time to go on dates together? Is he your first earthly relationship? Have you put your children there in that place? Or have you put another friend there? Or is your job your first relationship? Are you making sure that you go away a time or two a year for a night or two so you can just communicate and talk and pray and plan? Make sure that you're on the same page. I said we're having new neighbors move in, and that's because our neighbors that have lived there for 8 years are moving out because they're going through a divorce. My heart is just broken about it because the wife had become a friend of mine. I had the privilege and blessing of going through a Bible study with her and leading her to Christ, but her husband never trusted the Lord. And so they've been on two different pages, but in every area of their life, they're on two different pages. And we might say, well, you know, of course, you know, a Christian, a non-Christian, there are two different lifestyles and all of that, but, you know, we're a ministry marriage. So, you know, we're together. But as I said, in the last couple of weeks, there's been four ministry marriages that have split up. And our neighbors next door, they said, you know, what happened is that we just grew apart. And I thought about ministry and I thought how busy we stay. Our phone is constantly calling for our attention. You know, Mr. So-and-so, he's texting, the deacon's letting you know that the pipes broke in the basement of the gym and, you know, there's a flood down there and you're in the middle of dinner. So your husband's got to leave and you got to run your kids to ball practice. And I mean, it's crazy. And we stay so busy and it's so easy for that to happen just over time that we just separate and the distance comes. We grow apart. We need to be so careful that we are staying close in proximity and in relationship. Number four, this blessed wife, the abundant ministry wife, is foreseeing the future. Number four, verse four, behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that fears the Lord. This is looking into the future. Blessed shall the man be when he's fearing the Lord. This is looking down the road a ways. And a godly marriage in a ministry marriage is going to have so many blessings. Your home is going to be blessed. the atmosphere of your home is going to be a blessing for your husband to come home. And I can't tell you how many times my husband, he'll walk in and he'll say, I just couldn't wait to just get home. Your home is a blessing. But secondly, other people are going to be blessed that are watching you. And you know, people are watching that you have no clue are watching you. Years ago, we would pick up a little girl in our neighborhood and take her to church with us. And she would sit in the back with our two daughters, and we'd go to church and then bring her home. And years later, we're states apart now, but she reached out to us on Facebook and said, and now she's a grown woman, and she said, I will never forget when we would ride to church that the two of you would sit in the front in the van and you were holding hands all the way to church. We were just holding hands. But she saw that. And she said, that had such an impact on me because she didn't have that kind of home. Other people are going to be blessed by your marriage, your ministry marriage. And then your ministry is going to be blessed because it starts in your home. And as you build your home and your house, then you can serve in God's house. Other people are going to hear what you have to say when they see the gospel being displayed in your marriage. So other people in your ministry are going to be encouraged by it. But number five, we also see this ministry wife, the abundant wife, falling before Christ. Look at verse 5. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. In other words, that you're going to have the things that you have been promised by God and the things that you have prayed for. You will be blessed out of Zion. That's where the Ark of the Covenant was. That's where the blessing would be. And when I think about the Lord Jesus, his sacrifice for us, his death and his resurrection in Jerusalem, the blessing flowed from that. And now I can have a marriage that displays the gospel because of what Christ did for me. Ladies, if you are not aware of this, I've said it before, I want to say again, our marriages are under attack. And as Carol said in the last session, that we have an enemy. And if he can get our families and our marriages, he also has the church. We started in verse 1 with the Lord. We got into the middle of the chapter and we see the Lord blessing us in verse 4. And then we end with God's blessing. The fear of the Lord covers every day of our life. And every day as a minister's wife. I want to end by sharing with you a story, a true story that I heard just recently it really shook me when I heard it. And I fully believe that the Lord wants you to hear this. A man was on an airplane in just the last couple of years, and he was on a long flight that provided a meal. And he was seated by the window, and a woman was seated beside him. And they got their meal, and he left it on the tray. And she's eating, and she noticed that he never touched his tray. But all throughout the meal, he would bow his head and pray. So the stewardess came at the end of the mealtime and she picked up all the trays, took his away, and the woman's curiosity had gotten the best of her. And she said, I noticed that you never touched your meal, but you kept bowing your head and praying during the mealtime. Are you a Christian? And he said, no, I'm a Satanist. And this year we are praying that 100 ministry marriages will fail. And we are fasting and praying to Satan to that end. We have an enemy who wants to destroy your marriage. And you know what? He's not going to come to you at your strong point. He's going to hit you in your areas where you are weak. So even when you look through these five things that we've talked about today, where is your weakness? Where is it that you are falling a little underneath what you need to be in fearing God as a minister's wife? Again, it's not what you're doing out here, but it's what you're doing in your marriage. We have an enemy who is out to attack us. And he's not going to come to you and say, just hate your family. We wouldn't do that. We love our family. But he could make us so busy that we're out serving five nights a week, and it looks like we hate our family. Mission accomplished. Can I just encourage you, ladies? 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. I had to ask myself when I heard this story, when was the last time I fasted to pray for my husband? When was the last time I fasted and prayed for our marriage to go on and to be a testimony of the gospel? I'm going to say, by saying, name your husband in prayer. Call out his name before the throne of grace. Lift up his strengths, because it's that area where he is going to have his greatest temptation. Lift up his spiritual blessings, his gifts that God has given to him. Call out his name in prayer. Don't fail to pray for him. We are abundantly blessed who know Christ. And to be a minister's wife, because we can support and encourage him at times when nobody else is around us. And that blessing comes in our home, where we can be fruitful and abounding in blessing. And that ministry has its place, its starting place and its ending place within the walls of our house. The abundant life of the minister's wife. Our greatest place is to be on our knees, praying for that man that God has given to us. I'm cheering you on. If I can encourage you or pray with you when this session is done, I'm here. I don't need supper. I've eaten well at lunch, and I would be happy to encourage you. Let's end by praying. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you do bless us so abundantly. When we fear you, Lord, you help us to walk in your ways. And we thank you that we can look into the future and know that what we're doing now is going to bear out fruit for all eternity. And Lord, help us not to underestimate the blessing that we can be to our husband and the help that he needs us to be for him. And I do want to pray right now for every one of these dear ladies. Lord, I pray that as they see any area where they may be weak, that they would humble themselves. And even as they submit to you and confess to you, then that they would confess to their husband. And Lord, may we spend time on our knees, calling out our husband's name before your throne. And Lord, I pray that we would have the abundant life that you have planned for us. And thank you for the blessing of getting to hold up the hands of the men that are standing in the pulpits in this area. Oh God, we praise you and thank you. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.